Back to a book we mentioned at the top of the program. Let me read you what the Washington Post had to say about this book. It said, "Communicators, migrants, soothsayers, beings more deserving of the rights of personhood than the corporations that have been conferred that legal protection. Editor and artist Katie Holton celebrates all the ways trees are infinitely more complex than commonly envisioned." The book is called The Language of Trees, A Rewilding of Literature and Landscape. It's a journey from prehistoric cave paintings to tree clocks in Mongolia to the death of a 3,500-year-old cypress tree. And it's a timely reminder of what could happen if we allow the arboreal beauty that surrounds us to slip away. The editor is Katie Holton, and she joins us now from her hotel room in London. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Derek. Thanks for having me. Yeah, so the book is a celebration of trees, and it's called The Language of Trees. So obviously it makes you think it's about trees, but I think it's also really about being human and being a member of a community. I've got one of my tree drawings on the cover shows a forest, how the trees are all connected with the root system underneath. And I feel like that's how humans are. We're all connected and we work together through, you know, our towns, villages, communities, cities on this big, beautiful planet. So I think if we could just learn maybe to slow down and listen to trees, it might teach us and help us to maybe become better lovers of the world and take better care of it and ourselves. And it's about a lot of things, so maybe I'll go quiet now and let you throw some questions at me, because I could talk for days about this book.
Yes, indeed. I'll have to confess a conflict of interest here, Katie, won't I? First of all, I've been speaking to you before and communicating with you. And secondly, you come from RD in County Louth, the very next parish to where I come from myself. So you're a local woman, in spite of being introduced and being spoken about on the Washington Post and New York City and everything else. You're a local Louth girl, aren't you?
And thank you for being part of the community and the stories and answering questions when I reached out to you.
Your book is The Language of Trees. And in fact, when you were speaking to me, we were talking about the fact of a tree language and a tree alphabet. And you, in fact, invented a tree alphabet yourself, quite a different one to the one that went on to form Ome way back in the day. So you have beautiful images all through the book of pictures and indeed writing that you have using your tree alphabet, where you have your 26 little stick drawings, if you like, of trees, and they all stand for a certain letter. So this is what you're saying in the book, that anything that we can say or write or whatever can be translated into using these letters to give an image of the world through trees. So could you say a little bit more about how you feel this is working?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, being Irish, we all know about this Irish tree alphabet, so the medieval Ome, going back to like the 5th century, and it's something I feel, you know, at a cellular level is part of who I am. I've always known that we have an Irish tree alphabet, but I didn't really understand what it was or how it worked or how it was communicated. Then it was during lockdown in 2020, I started looking at it again, and I when I looked closely, I realised it was actually written the way trees and plants grow. So they wrote it, they drew it from the ground up. And so from the ground up, you have a main trunk, a straight line, and then the little twigs come out on either side, and that indicates what the different letter was. And I realised that's just how trees grow. And then each one of the letters, they stacked on top of the other. So the words were written from the ground up, the way trees grow. And it just felt like everything kind of fell into place. And I knew this old medieval Irish tree alphabet was something that makes so much sense for us right now. We're in the 21st century. We're rushing towards this uncertain future that looks very difficult, full of the climate emergency, the climate crisis. So if we could maybe slow down and think maybe call it tree time. So slow everything down and try and look at things through a tree lens or a plant lens, maybe beyond our human-centric way of thinking about things. Realize we are just one little animal on this planet. And so the tree alphabet was my offering to try and have a non-human-centered way of thinking about language and communication and being together.
This is one aspect of your book. But in the main, when you pick up your book, what you realise, what you're holding, in fact, is a collection of essays or poems or short bits by about 50 authors, all of whom have something to say about trees, and you have sort of sorted this out into seeds, buds, leaves and trunks, flowers and fruit, forests, tree time, these topics, these headings. Now, mind you, there are very, very few of these authors that are not American, but there are a few. And I was just picking out, being as we are in Ireland, picking out the Irish authors. So we have Kerry Ní Dougherty, and she's talking about, you know, the whole idea of when we're in Ireland in the Irish language, that there's a connection between the trees and the next world and the other world and the portal between one and another. That whole concept of trees beside holy wells, in fact, which goes way back before Christianity. And then you have a poem then on Drynan Dun by Susan McKeown, The Blackthorn Tree. And that has another lovely Irish ring to it as well. But in the main, your authors are American authors that you have throughout the whole book. And it's their thoughts about trees that is what you have put in the book in the main.
Yeah, I think because I was invited by the US publisher Tin House to recreate a book that I made back in 2015. So it became, if you will, the book, The Language of Trees, was published in April over in the States. So that's how it kind of grew. I made it during the last year. So the book happened very quickly in 1 year. So I sort of reached out to who was close to me, who I had relationship with, and who seemed to make sense to communicate with a book that was being published in the States. Because we only realized this year in January that the book was going to come out here. And I did naively think I could get to make it a whole new version of the book for the Irish UK edition. But that's not how the publishing industry works, sadly. But I did manage to slip in Kerry Ní Dougherty. There's also Mary Reynolds shares her work with the We Are the Ark, and people like Rob McFarlane, Zadie Smith, some UK, not Irish, but close enough. But yes, I had really hoped that we would have a whole new family conversation. And I think now that I'm on the book tour, that's one way that I get to do that. So I get to travel around the country and open up the conversations. For me, the book tour is really a way to turn the book, that's this time capsule, if you will. It's something you can hold in your hands and you can flip through or leaf through the pages. And so for me, that's a really important part of it on the tour. And so I'm looking forward to visiting Cork and Clare and the Burren next week and the week after, and engaging with groups like Home Tree and Owen Dalton. And that's, I think, another aspect of the book is that it exists beyond the pages. It's really, for me, like the tree alphabets are something that I make available on my website, so people can download the tree fonts and they can write with trees. So I really feel like the book is much more than a physical entity. It's something that lives out in the world and exists. People can write their own messages, and we can actually plant messages with trees, because I've made an Irish tree alphabet that can be planted, so we can plant words and messages to the future.
If we go back to our roots, they are ultimately arboreal. The great apes from which we come lived in the trees. We came down and ventured out into the open plains and so forth. But is there a hankering in us for our arboreal past? A sense that we have broken with our true roots or something? Is there a strange psychological readdressing of that? Now, you mentioned Om. Om is an interesting phenomenon in a way, this strange language here in Ireland back in the 4th century or thereabouts. It seems it may have been invented so that you could communicate with people who would know what you were saying, a kind of an encryption, a kind of a code, in a sense. Your tree book, I looked at your tree drawings, I must say I would find it very difficult to read anything in them, just as it would be very difficult to read anything in Om. Is there a sense of a special private language about this?
Yeah, I like that you mentioned, you used the word readdressing. For me, it's really about remembering, trying to remember who we are, like as a species. This might sound very grand and over the top and a bit crazy, but I think in general, there's such a disconnect, right? The Western cultures, we've become so disconnected from the landscape in which we live. We can't live without the landscape that we're a part of. We need it. And this remembering where we come from, remembering our creation story, stories. You know, I've been hosting a series of salons where we talk about the possibilities for art and activism and just for being a human right now in this time of a climate emergency. What can we do? How can we survive? And we keep coming back to storytelling and the importance of having stories and remembering our old stories and the creation stories. And I think in Ireland, we've got such a rich history. We've got all of our myths. And these are so important. You know, Mankin has been helping us remember. And I think this is definitely something that I hope the book is offering a way for people just to remember. And so the trees, yes, it might be difficult to translate and to read in trees. But some of the offerings are just like a single word or letter by letter, so you can slowly learn the trees and learn to read them. And just the simple act of slowing down, I think, is for me was a really important part of making the tree alphabet, was to say, look, we're moving too quickly. We're not stopping and paying attention to what's right here in front of us. We're not seeing the trees, if you will. And so just to remember who we are and where we come from. The fact that we'd forgotten that we had an Irish rainforest was the natural ecosystem in a lot of the West Coast. And it's only in the last few years, through all of these rewilding efforts, that we've started to remember. And I think this, rewilding our hearts and our imaginations is such an important part of what we can do right now, as we're all feeling kind of hopeless, or at least I've been feeling hopeless and scared and angry about what we can do in such a difficult time. And so offering something as simple as trees to remember, I think, is it's like a simple looking at the ABC. It's like learning the ABC all over again. Learn your AB trees.
So you're trying to revive transcendentalism, are you? Ralph Waldo Emerson, the famous American naturalist back in the 19th century, believed in the inherent goodness of people and nature. Society had introduced corruption, but the physical and spiritual process, there's an inherent dynamism in all things. Is this the sort of theme, the sort of message, if there is a message, that you want to get out in this book?
Yeah, I definitely think that we need to remember that we humans are just one animal. We're an animal ourselves. I think we've sort of somehow forgotten that we actually are animals. And to remember that everything is alive. We're made up of stardust, and every atom, every molecule in the universe all came from that, you know, Big Bang, or if there was something before it. And so we are all related, and everything is communicating. I think this is something, you know, we also tend to forget, that we have our human language where we can communicate with each other, and it's such an important part of being human. And everything is communicating all the time. It's just maybe at a different frequency, or it's something that we can't tune into or hear. So we know that now that, you know, trees communicate. And a lot of the scientists, some of them included in the book, share studies showing. So it's like we're suddenly realizing how we are not maybe at the top of the pyramid, and that we're not the all-powerful human who is in charge of everything and can extract and consume the planet at will and just keep on growing. You know, so much of our societies are about growth, endless growth. And we have to remember, well, this is just one planet, and we're just one little species. And we all need to live together and remember that we have to be in relationship. And that's why I think remembering to look to the land and where we live is so important. And I feel like my book is part of my campaign for rights of nature, to try and show we need to protect nature, because that's a way to protect ourselves. You know, if we protect plants and trees, we're really protecting ourselves and our families and our communities.
Why Not? The Language of Trees, a Rewilding of Literature and Landscape by Katie Holton, is published by Elliot and Thompson. And more details can be found on our website, rte.ie/Mooney. Katie, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks so much, Derek.
Bye-bye.
Bye.